This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Thursday, May 11th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Biden calls in Ag Committee leaders. Talks start to save Black Sea grain deal and aiming for COP28. Now here's a programming note. AgriPulse is hosting a webinar on Monday, May 15th, on the status of the next farm bill. Guests include John Newton, the chief economist for the Senate Ag Committee's minority staff, and Jacqueline Schneider, a top Democratic staffer on the panel. The discussion will cover a wide variety of issues, including the latest farm program cost projections from the Congressional Budget Office. AgriPulse executive editor Philip Brasher will moderate that discussion. All eyes are on the White House Farm Bill meeting. President Joe Biden is putting a focus on the Farm Bill today. The White House has called a meeting for late this afternoon or evening with the four leaders of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees. Senate Ag Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow, the Michigan Democrat, stressed in an interview with AgriPulse that the discussion is likely to be fairly general in nature. I'm sure it will be very positive. The president's very supportive of us getting a strong bipartisan farm bill, Stabenow said. House Ag Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson told AgriPulse he'll stress that the farm bill needs to address the needs of producers. He said the committee leaders aren't ready to discuss details of what should be in the bill. Now take note, Thompson doesn't expect Biden to raise the issue of the debt ceiling. If he does, I'll make it clear that it's not relevant to the farm bill, Thompson said. Thompson elaborates on Ag workforce plan. Thompson will give a special House Agriculture Committee task force 6 months to study the needs of Ag workforce with a view of developing a bill that would increase the availability of legal farm workers. Next week, Thompson will circulate information about the task force and see who wants to serve on it. Thompson said he's made Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan, the Ohio Republican, aware of his plans. Any bill that would facilitate more foreign workers would ultimately have to go through Judiciary, which has many Republicans who are hardliners on immigration policy. The bottom line, Thompson says he wants a bill that the ag sector and most members of the House Ag can, quote, rally around. Dems target easing work rules for students. Even as Republicans look to expand work requirements to people in their 50s, Democrats are mounting an effort to exempt college students from those rules. The work requirements have been suspended during the COVID-19 pandemic, but the public health emergency officially ends today, bringing the rules back into effect. Democrats say the requirement that able-bodied adults without dependents work at least 20 hours a week to qualify for SNAP isn't practical for full-time students, many of whom already are struggling just to pay for school. When students have their basic needs met, data shows that they have better graduation rates and better academic success, UC Davis student Sergio Bicardo Aguilar said at a news conference with California Representatives Jimmy Gomez and Jimmy Panetta. Senate Ag Committee member Kirsten Gillibrand, the New York Democrat, sponsoring a companion Senate bill. Now take note, the bill's prospects aren't good in the GOP-controlled House, but Democrats want to start building support for the measure, hoping it gets attached to the farm bill in the Democratic-controlled Senate. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
Dairy Management Incorporated serves America's 34,000-plus dairy farmers and dairy importers by managing research and marketing programs aimed at promoting dairy consumption and protecting the good image of dairy farmers, dairy products, and the dairy industry. Funded entirely by dairy farmers, DMI has distinguished itself as a strategic consultant and valuable resource to businesses and organizations in the food and beverage sector that seek to increase sales and raise their image through the innovative use of dairy and dairy ingredients.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. Negotiations begin to save the Black Sea grain deal. high-level talks starting today in Istanbul to try to salvage the Black Sea Grain Initiative, a United Nations brokered deal between Ukraine, Russia, and Turkey that allows for the export of Ukrainian grain through its ports in Odessa despite the ongoing war. UN Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs Martin Griffiths arrived in Istanbul yesterday for the talks amid rising Russian frustration over the deal. Russia, which is still demanding that restrictions be removed from its fertilizer exports and international sanctions be lifted on the Russian Agriculture Bank, has been sporadically halting inspections of grain-laden vessels trying to enter and leave the Black Sea. As of Monday, Ukraine has shipped about 30 million metric tons of grain and other ag commodities under the initiative that, according to the United Nations. Regan defends E-RIN's proposal, sort of. EPA Administrator Michael Regan didn't exactly defend his agency's proposal to allow electric vehicle makers to generate E-RINs under the Renewable Fuel Standard Program at a hearing yesterday. But he did stress that it's only a proposal. Recent reporting from Reuters has cast doubt on whether EPA will move forward with the E-RINs plans, which was included in the latest proposal to set future renewable volume obligations. Representative Marionette Miller-Meeks from Iowa said she found the idea punitive, since Congress specifically designed the RFS program to encourage the use of domestically produced biofuel blends. "We don't have an E-RINs program," Regan said. Organic sales set record, but with a caveat. Sales of organic food topped $60 billion for the first time last year, but inflation was a factor in the increase over 2021. The Organic Trade Association's annual industry survey shows $67.6 billion in total sales of organic products in 2022. Organic food sales made up the vast majority of that at $61.7 billion. We're being honest here. Inflation is an impact on the organic sector, OTA CEO Tom Chapman told reporters. Organic generally follows trends that we're seeing in grocery and consumer sectors overall, where growth has come from pricing, but unit volume is down. Organic produce racked up $22 billion in sales to lead all categories and accounted for 15% of all U.S. fruit and vegetable sales. By the way, Purdue University's latest consumer survey asked about purchasing habits for organic food. About 30% of consumers said they often or always buy organic fruits and vegetables. The least purchased categories include pasta, rice, and cereal, bread, and canned goods. Ag leaders look ahead to COP28. Food systems and emissions reduction practices dominated a fireside chat on the final day of the Aim for Climate Summit. The conversation looked ahead to deliverables for the December COP28 conference in the United Arab Emirates. Miriam Al-Hiri, the UAE's Minister of Climate Change and Environment, promised that, quote, food systems and agriculture will be center stage of the events in Dubai. She noticed the need to encourage young agri-technologists to create innovative solutions for the industry. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack received a round of applause when he said, quote, agriculture will get to that net zero futures first before other industry in the United States. Well, here's today's He Said It. I'm beyond calling it climate change. It's a crisis. That's John Kerry, President Biden's presidential envoy for climate and the Aim for Climate Summit. Well, that's Daybreak for this Thursday, May 11th. Brought to you by Watkinson Miller and Dairy Management Incorporated. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.